Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Welcome to Speak for Your Speak. We got a huge show today. Starting off, the Broncos offense, they have been struggling. Russell Wilson, is he getting exposed? Oof. And speaking of quarterbacks, Josh Allen, has he finally passed Patrick Mahomes as the best in the NFL? And not all positive. We got to talk about the most disappointing players and teams this season. I'm Emmanuel Acho. That's NFL insider Dave Hellman, Joy Taylor, and Eagles all-time rushing leader Shady LeSean McCoy. But starting things off with the Cowboys, I'm no Dak Prescott apologist, but somebody needs to apologize to Dak Prescott. You see Steve Young's comments below. You can read them for yourself. He said that Dak Prescott could learn from backup Cooper Rush. That's asinine, because the Cowboys' offensive struggles aren't about Dak Prescott. They're about offensive coordinator Kellen Moore. Take a look at it for yourself. The big eye in the sky, it does not lie. This is the third play of the Cowboys' week one opener against the Buccaneers. Why in the world, Kellen Moore, are you trying to block a 6'5", 260-pound outside backer with the wide receiver? Somebody got to make that make sense for me. And then what in the world's going on? Are we running a double reverse on the third play of the game after we've already picked up a first down? Kellen Moore, what are you thinking? Now, eight plays later, the same Kellen Moore wants to run some more trickery? The $160 million quarterback lined up at receiver? You got Tony Pollard in the backfield? That's as close as Dak Prescott got to touching the ball on the 11th play of the game. I look at it very simply. You're more likely to go bankrupt as a millionaire. Why? Because you got more money to spend. When the Cowboys look at Dak Prescott, they get a little more whimsical with their decisions, because when it comes to football and his talent, he's a millionaire compared to Cooper Rush. This is not about Dak Prescott, Steve Young. This is about Kellen Moore and his treatment of his quarterback, Dak Prescott. So I take huge issue with the comments. Shady, it's good to see you in blue.
Oh, man.
I don't know if that's Cowboys blue.
It's never Cowboys.
Never Cowboys blue. Shady, do you take issue with Steve Young's comments on Dak?
What do you think?
I'm going to guess no, but I'd love to hear why, though.
Absolutely not. See, I love this. You know why? Not because it's Steve Young, who's an established quarterback, one of the greats, one of the best, Hall of Famer. Not because of that. Just because when there's a good player, nobody wants to talk about him, right? If a guy's out there throwing picks or not playing well, nobody really wants to talk about it. I'm happy because my eyes work, and so does Steve Young. His eye works, too.
Uh-oh.
My thing with Dak is, look, man, you need the fundamentals. I don't see it. I see picks. I see throw off your back foot. Those are things that I see. So, my friend, you can learn something from Steve Young. I think we all can. Thanks, Steve, for speaking up, brother. Appreciate you.
Now, why the black power fist do you thank Steve Young?
Why? It's just love. It's just love, bro. Black okay. fist, that's love. So.
I was just wondering.
Yeah.
I was just wondering, Dave.
Focus on Steve.
So, thank you, Steve Young, right?
One of the best.
Dak Prescott can stand to learn from Steve Young, a Hall of Famer. That's fine. That's not what Steve Young said, is it? He said Dak Prescott could stand to study Cooper Rush. You had some bad games in your career, right, Shady? Like, you played some bad games.
Few. Not a lot. Few.
How would you have reacted if somebody told you to check out what the practice squad running back does in practice to get some tips on how to be better?
It depends who it was, right? I see Cooper Rush. I see him look at the number one read. Oh, okay, the number two read. Okay, the check down. I don't see Dak do that.
You don't see Dak if anything.
I don't.
And look, and here's the thing. Here's why I have beef with this entire thing. It's patronizing. It's so patronizing to assume that Dak Prescott, a guy who's thrown for 4,900 yards in this league, a guy who threw for 37 touchdowns last year, doesn't know how to progress from read one to read three. Can he do too much? Absolutely. If anything, if we want to give constructive criticism of Dak Prescott, sometimes I think he overprocesses. Sometimes I think he presses. He threw a really ugly pick against Tampa Bay. Third and 10. He's pressing.
We see that.
And that's fine. You criticize things that make sense to criticize. He presses, throws into bad coverage on a third and 10 because he can feel the game getting away from him. That is so much different than saying that he doesn't know how to play quarterback, which is what you're doing when you say that he's got some things he can learn from Cooper Rush. Like, there's a difference between these two things. I know you even realize that.
Joy, educate us all.
I know you do.
I'm gonna try to not come from an emotional place with this.
Do better than me. Disrespect Steve, please.
And I know that Shady is excited because any kind of Cowboy slander is right up Shady's alley.
It is Steve. It's almost like Steve Young.
For being frank. But to me, this is a bigger conversation about the disrespect that Dak continually gets.
Lots of it.
Because you wouldn't say this about certain quarterbacks in the NFL. You would never say this about certain quarterbacks in the NFL. You mentioned Dak's statistics last year. Obviously, he had 37 passing touchdowns, almost 4,500 yards, his best statistical season overall, 1-3 record in the playoffs. So how am I going to study someone who's 2 starts in the NFL? Ain't a whole lot to study. We're going to do that tape pretty quickly because there's not a whole lot to look at. The reality is this is disrespect to Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott is a certified starter for the for America's team.
You know that
he earned
to say
a multi-year, over $100 million deal. He has a playoff win. This always happens when a team is struggling and the backup comes in. It's this hero mode thing that everybody gets into. A backup quarterback should be able to win a game. That is their job. They're not supposed to come in and win every game, but they should be able to come in and win a game. They should split, essentially. Cooper Rush, and I don't know Cooper Rush, so I'm not going to speak for him, but I'm going to assume he doesn't even feel comfortable with someone saying this about him. He's not done anything in this league. He's won 2 games. Played in 2 NFL games, let's relax. This is all this is wild, blatant disrespect for Dak Prescott.
I think it is an egregious statement after watching the tape, but I feel like some people are jumping on 2 different sides of the bandwagon just off hearing that Dak should study from Cooper Rush. In and of itself, I think you can learn from Cooper Rush just based off that. Like, to answer your question, Dave, that you asked Shady, there were several times where a position coach might tell the starter, hey, look what this kid's doing. You see, even this practice squad kid's getting it right. Several times. Go back to college. Mm-hmm. There are several times where a coach will look at somebody and be like, the walk-on's doing it better than you.
Mm-hmm.
And that is actually true.
You say that in a tone of disrespect to wake the guy up, even the way you just said.
Yes, but it also might be accurate. So sometimes things, they're not mutually exclusive. Something can be disrespectful and accurate, or it can be disrespectful and inaccurate. What I think is that I don't know that Dak had anything to learn from Cooper Rush. I just caution people in thinking it's impossible for Dak to learn from Cooper Rush because Cooper Rush is a backup. There are several times you can learn from an intern, you can learn from somebody on the street, you can learn from somebody beneath you. So I caution people there. But after I'm really looking at it, Shady, I'm saying, wait a second. I don't mind that Steve Young said, Dak, you need to learn from Cooper Rush. I just mind he didn't have no evidence to support it in my eyes.
But my thing is, so I've learned from different running backs that might have been on a practice squad, right? And I might steal some things from him. Okay, I watch how he ran through the hole. I might take that. Now, let's say this. I think Dak is more talented than Cooper Rush.
Of course.
We all agree on that.
Of course.
But I think Steve might have watched Dak the first game, which we all seen that was 3 points he put up, 134 yards, no touchdowns and a pick. He's seen the game. He's seen the way he played. See his reads. And he watched his last game with Cooper Rush and said, okay, I watched some things he did, the way he read, some of the passes he threw. He said, maybe you could learn from some of the fundamentals. There's nothing wrong with that. He's not saying that Dak is not better than Cooper Rush. You're just learning something from a player. It's not wrong with that.
When you put it that way, I don't have as much of a problem with it.
But
But that's my entire point. He said it a certain way. You love to point out how bad Dak was in week 1. Cooper Rush week 2 had more yards, more touchdowns, and a better passer rating than Aaron Rodgers. Are we going to do this for Aaron Rodgers? Are we going to say? And that's the thing. I'm just telling you. You chose to frame it a certain way. If you want to say, you know, simple it down a little bit. Like, don't freak out too much about thinking on the second or third level.
You have an issue with Steve Young comparing the great Dak Prescott, and I say great, financially he is great, and in Cowboys history he is
great. You
don't
even have to say great. You can just say...
We can't say, oh, he's not great.
Okay, you have an issue with Steve Young comparing Dak to Cooper.
I take issue when you are telling a guy who has done so much in the league, it doesn't really matter if you think he's great or not. He's done a ridiculous amount in the NFL compared to Cooper Rush to say, go home and study what he does. It just rubs me the wrong way. That's not the right way to frame
it. Let me come at you for this one. Because you have, at least occupationally on this set, as it pertains to television, done more than all of us.
Right.
But I don't
think...
You're
the OG.
I don't think you would be so cocky as to not potentially study somebody under you, or if Colin or myself or Skip or Shannon or anybody at the network would be like, hey, Joy, yo, you can learn from him. You can learn from her. You could. I don't think you would take such offense to that. And you are the OG who would have accomplished more than so many other different people.
Sure. And as I'm listening to both of you talk about it, I've been waiting for you to come to this topic because I'm going to throw it right back at you. And I already know what the answer is going to be. I very much believe in improving. I very much believe in learning and growing and using different things as inspiration and studying how different people do things. But if someone from another network went publicly and said, Joy could really learn from this kid that has done two shows in their entire life because they really do the fundamentals well, I'm going to probably give them a call or I'm going to laugh about it because clearly they don't respect what I am and what I have done. Similarly, I'm going to throw it back at you. It's not your coach telling you, pay attention to this young guy. He really holds the ball well and you're getting sloppy. It's not your teammate. It's not one of us saying, hey, E, you really like to do these monologues. Check out this young girl and wherever. She's like, she does this kind of unique thing. Like, maybe you could use some of that. Love what you do, but this is kind of cool. I think you'd be great at this too. That's not how this was presented. This was presented that Dak Prescott could study Cooper Rush, who, by the way, a backup is a massive improvement because he was on the practice squad. They didn't have a backup quarterback.
Got cut to start the season.
Okay, so that's it's even lower than that. And this isn't to disrespect Cooper Rush because he got dragged in it. He woke up today, now how I get in it? But he is in it, and that's why we're talking about this. You wouldn't absorb that the same way because that's really what's happening here.
I like that point.
I'm going to answer one question.
Go ahead.
Okay, so do you respect Steve Young's opinion?
That's where I was going.
I do. I'm not saying that Steve Young's opinion doesn't matter. I'm saying that it still, you can have an opinion and it still be disrespectful.
But don't you think that carries, I'm glad you took there because that's where I'm at. I think it carries even more weight.
Yes.
If Mike McCarthy were to say it, I'd almost be like, I mean, Mike, yeah, you won your Super Bowl, but it was because of Aaron Rodgers.
Right. Kellen Moore on the back.
Well, Mike McCarthy would never, but.
If Kellen Moore said, I'd be like, bro, Kellen, you 33, and you couldn't even... I beat you out, Kellen Moore. I'm Dak Prescott. You back me up. When Steve Young says it, it's almost like, because, Joy, if an OG in television called me, I won't equate Steve Young to Oprah, but if an OG in television called me and said, like, hey, Acho, you could learn... I haven't watched
but
that with Sean.
You can learn from Shady McCoy.
It was a call out. That's different. It's a call out. And I'm not saying that Steve Young doesn't know more about football than I will ever know. That's not what I'm saying. It's back to your original point. And what I'm trying to say, Cooper Rush doesn't have a resume to examine. Of course he's being fundamental. He don't know how to do anything else.
Dak Prescott could study Cooper Rush's tape and be done in about 8 minutes.
That's what I'm saying. What are we watching, 35 plays? Like, what are we talking about
here? When a starting quarterback comes off the field, he doesn't go to the head coach first. He doesn't go to the offensive coordinator
first.
Where
he go?
Do you know he goes to?
Where he go?
Do you guys know? He goes to the backup quarterback first.
That's a good point. He's making a good point.
He's making a good point.
And guess what Cooper Rush was doing on Sunday? He was going to the sideline and talking to Dak Prescott.
So what I'm saying is,
asking him for advice.
Okay, because he's playing. So now that Dak was playing, he should have, hey, he comes to Cooper Cup. What did you see out there? I should have did what? I should have this. They talk. That's what they do. So Steve Young's just saying it. Listen, brother, we all see how you're playing right now. Go to Cooper.
I think
Russ is going on.
Let me try to synthesize this, Dave. I'll give you the final word, but let me try to synthesize this.
Oh, man.
Dak Prescott could have played a much more fundamental game in week one. Cooper Rush played a more fundamental game in week two than Dak Prescott played in week one. You can go back and study the tape. I encourage y'all to do it at home.
I got no argument with that for whatever it's worth.
So Steve Young just said what maybe didn't need to be said, but it is still beneficial advice.
True.
Because Dak Prescott could actually have learned from how Cooper Rush played the game in week two. He could have.
Learn?
He said what he said. No, I'm a man of words and words matter. Dak Prescott could have been reminded, not learned.
That's fine.
Could have been reminded of how to better play the game fundamentally.
You're a bad man, brother.
Dak Prescott played a bad game against Tampa Bay. One of his worst games as a starter, certainly one of his worst games since he got his extension. That's fine. And yeah, like there are things he can do to improve. He can play cleaner. He, again, like pressing for me. I think, like, yeah, I think that is Dak's biggest problem is reining in that voice in his head that's like, we got to get this back. We got to go. We got to go. That's all fair. Just don't come at me like this. Like, Cooper Rush is teaching Dak Prescott things he doesn't know.
But could he remind? But he could remind him.
Fine. All right. I'll allow it. I guess.
Okay. Coming up, speaking of quarterbacks and questionable play. What is going on in Denver? Russell Wilson, he got the bag, but the stats are not matching up. Should the Broncos have regrets on giving Russell Wilson that $160 million-plus extension? That's next. Speak.
Oh, it's going to get good. Cooking, Russ.
Hey, college football fans. Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to The Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
What's up, family? Let's check in on our second life, our social life. Can you believe this? Mike Evans officially suspended, not just from the NFL, but from a restaurant. Now, we know the NFL upheld Mike Evans' one-game suspension, but there is a restaurant in New Orleans. Dave, how you say it?
New Orleans is fine.
That's so basic.
Yeah, we prefer it that way.
Not New Orleans?
You don't need to say it like that.
David's like, please don't mess this up.
Please don't say Nolens.
Say it like please don't say Wayne. Text Little Wayne and I will ask how we're supposed to pronounce New Orleans.
Oh, okay, flex.
Cool.
Anyway.
Look, can I just say, like, Blue Oak Barbecue, do you know how
surreal? You've been?
I've been many times. Like, that's one of my favorite places in New Orleans.
Oh, so this is an indictment.
I mean, it's one of the best fried chicken sandwiches I've ever had.
What is worse, a one-game suspension or being suspended in perpetuity from Blue Oak Barbecue?
I mean, I don't know how much Mike Evans is planning on going there when he's done playing, so maybe it doesn't matter to him, but I would take the suspension. That place is fire.
I ain't never going there.
That place
ever.
Is fire.
Ever.
So
man, me too.
Shout out Blue Oak.
All right, we got to move on to Denver. How about the Broncos? It's not looking good for them, nor is it looking good for Russell Wilson. Remember, they gave Russ a five-year extension, $243 million. But Russ ain't been cooking, y'all. Only two touchdown passes in two games. He says he and head coach Nathaniel Hackett are going to keep getting better. I believe you, Russ.
Yeah.
I believe y'all will keep getting better. But here's my problem. I think the Broncos made a mistake giving Russell Wilson an extension. I think they should regret giving Russell Wilson an extension. It's not because Russell Wilson's not a good player. But they weren't ready for a talented player like Russell Wilson. I look at it like this, y'all. You don't give a 17-year-old as their first car a Lamborghini, a Bentley, or a Rolls Royce because they are not yet equipped mentally to handle something that valuable. If you are trying to get into a relationship for the rest of your life, from what I have heard, marriage, etc., you wait until you are ready because you do not want to squander the value of the other person's mind, emotions, heart, among other things. So the Broncos were not ready for a talent like Russell Wilson, a first ballot Hall of Fame talent, yet they committed $245 million to Russell Wilson, though they weren't ready for Russell Wilson. For that reason, I think they should regret giving him that kind of money because now they've committed to something that they don't even know how to handle. But, Joy, we've talked about this off camera. Let's bring that conversation on camera. Should the Broncos have any regrets giving Russ an extension?
No. We're two games into the season. And as I said many times, I expected them to struggle this first season, not just because Russell Wilson is adjusting to a new team, but they are all adjusting to a first-time head coach in Nathaniel Hackett. And so far through these first two games, we can all at least agree that we have some questions about if Nathaniel Hackett was ready to drive the Lamborghini in this particular analogy. You can't just pass up on something that you may never get another opportunity to get because you're not particularly prepared in that moment. They do have a contract over multiple years. If it was this year that they were trading and they had to win this particular year in some fantasy scenario where that would be the case, then, yeah, I agree with you. You probably don't make this kind of trade and invest that kind of money in a one-year situation. But they aren't in a one-year situation. If they don't win a Super Bowl this year, it wasn't a mistake to bring in Russell Wilson. If they don't win a Super Bowl next year, it wasn't a mistake. If they win a Super Bowl, say, in the third year that Russell Wilson is with the Broncos, would all of this have been worth it? Of course. Yes. They would do that again in a second and every time after that. This isn't a one-year situation. They clearly are not ready for Russell Wilson. And look, Russ has some expectations that he needs to live up to as well. This isn't all on the organization or all on Nathaniel Hackett. But this far into this experiment, if you will. I'm not panicking to the level that this was a mistake to give him this contract.
Dave, let me come to you quickly. Joyce said she expected the Broncos to struggle. You have as good as a pulse on the National Football League as anybody on television. Would you say that the Broncos thought they might struggle, or did they think, in your mind, that they were ready-made?
And I give Joy a lot of credit, because she has been saying this, like, all summer she's been saying this, where I didn't necessarily see it. I take, and maybe not, like, the Bucks with Brady, I get that. What don't the Broncos have? Other, like, really, and the thing I find myself questioning right now is how much of it is the head coach, because... I mean, I'm not trying to dog the guy, but, like, Nathaniel Hackett just does not look like he is ready for this thing. But in terms of personnel, like, what don't the Broncos have that it's like, oh, they're not ready for Russ? Like, they got nice receivers. They drafted a young running back who plays well. Their offensive line might not be the best in the league, but it's better than the ones Russ was working with for most of the, you know, past few years in Seattle. And there's nice pieces on defense. You got Justin Simmons. You got Bradley Chubb. Patrick Surtain had a wonderful rookie season. Might have been defensive rookie of the year if not for Micah Parsons. So, what don't they have? No, I mean, and did I expect them to win the Super Bowl? No, but I absolutely expected them to look better than they have so far.
Shady, should the Broncos regret giving Russ an extension?
No, they shouldn't regret that. I think it was the right move to do, right? To get Russ on your team, like, who wouldn't want Russ on their team? Mm-hmm. I think what Russ is, it takes time. Now, right now, he's not cooking. He's really not cooking at all. But it takes time. Like it's a new team. When I was on the Bucks, we won our championship. We got Tom Brady. Like, we were still doing well, but we wasn't together yet. It wasn't a solid offense. And some of that was more like when Bruce Arians, he has his own offense. He's been very successful. Brian Leftwich, same thing. But when they got with Brady, like, what plays do you want? What plays don't you like? What plays do you love? So that's the thing you need. Russ is probably telling them probably like, well, I don't know, game five, game six, game seven, where they're comfortable. Okay, Russ likes these type of plays to the tight end, or he likes go routes. Like, you learn your players, you learn the talent around you. So it just takes time.
Joy, I've heard the quote, and I don't know, let me know if you've heard it, right person, wrong time, wrong person.
Sure.
So that's where I think the Broncos are with this. Like, Russ might be the right person, but I think it's the wrong time, thus I think it's the wrong person. Like, Joy was right, but I don't think the rest of the world may have had your same foresight. I think the Broncos believe they're ready to win now. When you look at the roster, in theory, they're ready to win now. It's that head coach. But where I stand is, historically, we have never seen an NFL team shell out a $100 million deal if they didn't think they could win that year. Go back to Joe Flacco. It was right after they won the Super Bowl. Clearly, they were still ready-made. Carson Wentz, it was after the Eagles won the Super Bowl. Patrick Mahomes, the Chiefs had won a Super Bowl, and Patrick Mahomes had won an MVP. Josh Allen, back-to-back AFC playoff appearances, first time in 6 years. Matthew Stafford, the Rams just won a Super Bowl. Aaron Rodgers, 3 consecutive 13-win seasons. The Chiefs, Kyler Murray, his first playoff appearance in 6 years. Jared Goff, Super Bowl appearance. We've never seen a team shell out $100 million if they didn't believe they were ready to win right now, or if they weren't capable of winning right now. So, Joy, it's back to you when I ask, if we've really never seen that happen, isn't there some sort of error in thinking and saying, you know what, we're not ready to win now, but we're going to pay you win now money?
Well, the only outlier in that list was Matthew Stafford, mm-hmm. because in all of those situations, everything else had rolled over as well. You guys know this. In football, there are so many moving parts within the organization. And to win a championship, everything has to be firing the same way, top to bottom. Everyone in the organization, from the equipment people to the coaches to the players to the backups to the front office, everybody's got to be locked in. It's very hard to win, specifically in this league, when you have a lot of drama and stuff going on. So a new head coach, a new coaching staff is a big adjustment. When you pay those guys, you're rolling over the coaching staff. You're not firing the coach after a Super Bowl win. You're not. Mm-hmm. Maybe some coordinators might move on to a better job, but you're not having a whole lot of turnover.
So then why pay him? That's where I think the tension lies between you and I.
Because in order to get him, you had this deal was down the line. Yeah. If Russ is forcing his way out of Seattle and he has the choice in the say in where he's going to go, it's an understood, it's not in writing, but you are going to pay me if I come here, because this is what I command, being Russell Wilson, coming to your organization that has not had a quarterback since Peyton Manning. There's an exchange here. So this was going to happen no matter where he went. He was going to get paid. But the struggles, I think, are being overlooked with the amount of turnover in the organization. Also, not that this is a huge thing, but they do have a new ownership group as well. Like, there are a lot of things in the organization that weren't lockstep, like all of those other guys that you mentioned, that were just rolling over into the next year. And you brought up the Buccaneers, which obviously you guys struggled a little bit in the beginning of your start with Tom Brady there. And you, I mean, everyone was still Tom Brady. Like, we feel like he's going to get it on track. Through his first two games, you guys were 1-1. He had averaged 228 yards, 64.7 completion percentage, and 1.5 touchdowns, 1.5 interceptions. It wasn't a turnkey situation at the beginning of his start with the Buccaneers either. But this deal was always going to happen if Russell Wilson was going to leave Seattle.
Then, Shady, let me ask you this. What really matters in Denver? I was in Cleveland when we changed owners, when Jimmy Haslam came there. Jimmy Haslam, he ain't really do anything on the field.
Yeah.
In Philadelphia, you obviously were the big money guy, so you talked to Jeffrey Lurie more than I did, owner of the Eagles. But we saw Jeffrey Lurie once a week on game day. What really in Denver is the problem? I don't think it's the owner, but it might be. You've been in Tampa when Tom Brady came in and y'all won the Super Bowl. Yeah. What's really going on in that locker room in your mind?
I mean, like, so even with the Tom Brady situation, so we were there, like, some of the plays, he wasn't happy about it. I don't like these plays. For 20 years, I was doing something different, you know? I'm more comfortable with this. And when you pay a guy, especially the quarterback is the main piece on any team. I don't care who it is. That's why people trade 3 first-rounders to get the quarterback that they want. So with Russ, it's maybe a thing where a new year head coach, rookie head coach, is like, this is what I want to do. This is what I'm more comfortable with. Everybody's trying to gel and fill each other out, and that happens. It takes time, even with the ownership. I'm sure the owner's like, look, we just gave this guy hundreds of millions of dollars. Make sure he's comfortable. And that may take time. Even with the wide receivers, like, some guys, Jerry Jeudy might run different routes than Cortland Sutton. Like, it just happens like that. So it's all about just figuring each other out and being on the same page, because in Tampa, that's what really happened.
Now, Dave, you think the Broncos are good enough from a roster perspective to win now?
Yeah. I mean, again, they're in a loaded division, and I'm not saying that they have the best roster in the league, but if Russell Wilson is who we've always known him to be, who I think he still is, they're absolutely good enough to compete. They should be better than they've looked the first 2 weeks. I'm not panicking about that. It's a long season.
Yeah.
Joy, I mean, look, the Bucs won that Super Bowl. Y'all did wonderful. They were 7-5 at their bye. I mean, it is.
And after the bye, when we turned it on.
Absolutely.
What happened during the bye?
Oh, what happened? The playbook changed a little bit. So, look, listen, Coach. I'm Tom. Listen, Coach. Out of 20 plays, give me your 6, and I'm give you my 15, right?
That makes 21.
That's 21. I know. I was just doing the math. I wasn't doing the math. Anyway.
You at least added that you could have made a
okay,
big point.
Okay, thick glasses. Look, anyway, so all that together, though, that's what really gelled together, because I know, okay, Mike Evans, I've seen him enough now. He likes these plays. Or Chris Godwin, he likes these plays. Antonio Brown, you got Gronk. And then we ran the ball that he wanted to do, because now, if you know about Brady, he loves certain runs to set up his pass. Like, all that stuff matters. It took a whole week to get that out of there. And then when we came back, the offense was a little different.
Yep.
Like, oh, these are the plays? Okay, because that's what he really wants. It's the same thing with Russ. Look, they gave him a big contract. So, hey, we don't have to win a Super Bowl today. We would like it. But within that contract, we need a championship. And it may take time, but I think...
You think they get it figured out this year? Not Super Bowl but do you think they get it figured
out? It's Russell. Yes. Russ, come on. I trust him. So I think eventually they get it together.
Speaking of quarterbacks, I don't even know if I want to get to this next one. But we have
to. That's what's going on with it.
Josh Allen.
Oh.
Patrick Mahomes.
Oh.
2 of the best in the game. I don't know if y'all watched the show yesterday, but we took this conversation from here to the dressing room, to the parking lot, to dinner, and it's back here again today. Is there a gap between Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes? I promise if you care about television, you want to come back and watch this. Next, speak.
The 2 young goats. Ooh, it gotta be good.
Well, let's get to a rivalry of our own. Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, they both roll, and they're both perfect 2-0 as a record. Remember what Patrick Mahomes has done, dismantling the Chargers and the Cardinals. But Josh Allen been balling too, and he whooped up on the Titans on primetime Monday night. Now, Josh Allen is on top of the NFL MVP odds, according to Fox Bet Sportsbook. And in second place is Patrick Mahomes. I got to figure out who's going to come on in second place of this conversation. Shady, I'm going to go ahead and ask you first. Is there a gap between Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes?
There's a gap. I think the gap is this. So I think right now, right, like, I think Josh is playing better. Mm-hmm. I think he's the better quarterback right now. But I think what the gap comes in is just the resume. You look at it that Patrick Mahomes won the MVP, right, and he won a championship. So that's the gap. But when you break the gaps down,
you know about gaps. Use a running back.
Right.
A you gap, know about, B gap. Yep, right. You know about gaps.
So, and I'm 96.5% of the time right.
Yep, all right. 0.5.
All right. So y'all know that. Patrick Mahomes is a beast.
Beast. Right?
Josh is a beast.
Beast.
Okay. when I break them down with the gaps, you got to look at everything. Like, Josh Allen doesn't have Andy Reid.
He doesn't.
That matters, right?
It does.
Josh doesn't have a guy like Tyreek Hill.
He doesn't.
Travis Kelce.
Nope, never.
Those things matter. It truly does.
They do.
One of the best offensive coaches we'll ever see.
Ever.
I can't name nobody better than Andy Reid.
I feel you. I can't either.
I came to the Chiefs. This guy was watching tape on freaking, like, guys in black and white TV with the leather helmets, mm-hmm. right? The championship game, we did that play, that's a touchdown. So Patrick Mahomes not to take nothing from him because he is a beast. And he wins games and he gets it done. But when you break the gaps, then you got to look at everything. And I think Josh Allen, I think he does more with less, right? But I think Patrick Mahomes has achieved more. So
Josh Allen's a better player, but Patrick Mahomes has more accomplishments.
Today, right now, yes. And that's as honest as I could be.
You're an honest man.
Because I love them both.
You're an honest man.
They always say that. They always say that. By the 6.5.
Is there a gap between Josh Allen and Patrick?
Isn't your nickname Shady?
Look, drop a bomb on it.
Yes, there is a gap. And again, I picked the Buffalo Bills to win the Super Bowl. I picked Josh Allen to win the MVP.
She's trying to couch it.
I'm very invested.
That's what Shady just spent the last 2 minutes doing.
I'm very invested in Josh Allen winning the MVP this year. But there is a gap. Yes, if you're asking me who is better, who is the better quarterback, you have the same record. You have started essentially the same amount of games. Mahomes has started 65. Josh Allen has started 62. So they are essentially at the same starting point. Obviously, Mahomes sat a year behind Alex Smith, but they both were starting quarterbacks the same year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So it doesn't get much closer when you're talking about evaluating peers. We have actual measurements for what success is. If it's all just what you see, then this is just a participation event that this is just a dog show, right? Like, there's some measurements here, but, like, this is the prettiest dog. You know, this is the beauty pageant. This is the best piece of art. It's all very circumstantial and subjective, but we have actual numbers to evaluate what is good and what is not.
What are your numbers showing you?
I have an MVP. I have a Super Bowl. I have a return trip to the Super Bowl. I have a trip to the AFC Championship.
Can I gas her up like you gas Shady up over there? Like, yeah, do it.
You always do.
If there was a smaller amount of accomplishments for Patrick Mahomes, then I could ride with you there with the whole organization and with the pieces around him. Like, it's not nothing that he had Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. That's not nothing. It's not nothing that he has Andy Reid. It is something. But what you're doing is you're putting so much on that you're putting Patrick Mahomes and his winning below Josh Allen, who doesn't have nothing. It's not like he's in a poverty situation. He's in a pretty good situation. Do we all agree that Josh Allen is in a good situation?
As far as, like, players?
Yes. Ooh. And coaching.
I'm serious. Who? You guys know so much about Josh.
He asked a question.
Every time, like, the four of us spent a decent amount of time together. I've gotten to know y'all pretty well over the last month and a half.
So no answer. 5 years.
I'm talking about this man over here on the end of the desk.
No answer, I guess.
I'm talking about Shady. Every single time the New York Giants come up, Shady's like, Brian Daboll's a dog. He's such a good coach. He helped Josh Allen so much.
He's not Andy Reid.
He's a hell of an offensive coordinator. He's got the Giants 2-0 right now.
Who else?
I heard Emmanuel the other night while we were watching Monday Night Football talk about how Stephon Diggs is top 5 in the league. And he's like, there's no debate. There's no debating that. That's what Ocho said.
Let me do this. Here's the problem think that Joy and Dave may be making. I'm not going to say it unequivocally. The problem I think they may be making.
They won't even tell me who's the next guy.
You have to assess the good kid in the bad neighborhood.
Okay? Oh, my God.
Josh Allen, his first year and his second year, was in a bad neighborhood. There was no Stephon Diggs. There wasn't even a Gabriel Davis, if y'all want to talk about him like a dog. Dawson Knox wasn't balling like that. Josh Allen, his first 2 years in the league, was in a bad neighborhood. Sean McDermott is a defensive coach, a great coach, but a defensive coach.
Right.
The teams that went to the playoffs last year, the Final Four, offensive-minded coaches. Matt LaFleur, Kyle Shanahan, Andy Reid, Zach Taylor,
Sean McVay,
offensive-minded coaches. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at Josh Allen in that bad neighborhood and saying, oh, you just as good as that kid at the good school. I get it. You weren't valedictorian. That's an award. I get it. You weren't salutatorian. That's an award. But that doesn't mean you're not smarter than the kid that won valedictorian at that other joint. So what I'm saying is, can we assess that Josh Allen was in a bad neighborhood for the first 2 years of his 5 years in the league and say, you know what? Even though Patrick Mahomes won MVP in 2019, Josh Allen didn't have no talent to win MVP.
No,
assess the kid in a bad school.
I won't even go that far. The Bills are not a dysfunctional organization.
They're
You know who was in a bad neighborhood?
Joe Burrow was
in a bad neighborhood.
Are the Bills any less dysfunctional than the Bengals? Remember, Andy Reid.
They're not now.
Not now.
They're not
but
now.
Remember, Joy, you got to go back to the history of it.
No,
Andy,
I'll go with you there.
The Bills are not a dysfunctional organization.
The Bengals weren't either.
Bengals made people share jock straps. You couldn't take Gatorade home to the Bengals organization. You had to drink out of the hose. You are not comparing the Bengals organization to the Bills.
Here's why. The Bills did not go to the playoffs from 2000 to 2016.
It was 16, 15.
Like, there's a 16-year playoff drought. You was there.
Yeah, they had a whole
break. The Bengals, as dysfunctional as they may have been, and I don't want to get distracted, but as dysfunctional as the Bengals may have been, Andy Dalton was in the playoffs every year with all that dysfunction.
So you helped them out because they couldn't name none of the other weapons, for one.
I named
them. So you helped them out.
What are you talking about?
Number two, real quick.
I
helped y'all out. So when I look at both, so if I tell you the offensive players that Andy Reid has drafted, right, you won't even believe it. Travis Kelce drafted there. Patrick Mahomes drafted there. Wow. Tyreek Hill drafted there.
Yes.
LeSean McCoy drafted there. Donovan McNabb drafted there. DeSean Jackson drafted there. Macklin drafted there. That's what he does. He gets offense. When we were there, we were like the head. We set so many records on offense in 2012, right? You know the team that outdid us, that beat our records? The Chiefs. So what I'm saying is, he puts them teams together. All them players, that's Andy Reid.
With the exception of Stephon.
Josh Allen doesn't have none of that.
With the exception of Stephon Diggs, all of the important pieces of that roster were drafted.
What's a
huge exception, obviously.
What pieces?
How the hell are the Bills? Gabriel Davis, Dawson Knox, Devin Singletary. Let me ask you this then. How the hell are the Bills?
Why are you looking at me like that's not
true? They're not the Chiefs. I'll say this. This year, the Chiefs offense won't be the same.
And it's still going to be good because of number 15.
I need to hear this story question.
How the hell are the Bills a Super Bowl contender, Super Bowl favorites, with this poverty lineup that you guys claim exists in Buffalo?
I don't think it's a poverty lineup now.
Yes.
Then he sure as hell isn't that good because they have a better roster than Patrick Mahomes, which would by default, if we're following the line of thinking that you guys are presenting, would make Patrick Mahomes the better quarterback because he's playing with a lesser team right now. We found our way out of the rabbit hole.
You said the Bills have a good offense, correct?
Yes.
So if you look at the offensive group they have there, you think they're top three? Office collectively?
No.
In terms of talent?
Yeah. No. Maybe top 10. Maybe.
Do you get what I'm saying?
I get what you're saying.
How are they Super Bowl contenders with this nonsense that they're trotting out that Josh Allen is elevated?
They draft all the players. They draft Josh Allen and nobody else.
Okay.
Yeah, bro. I mean, think about
they don't have any weapons on the defensive side of the ball.
That's
all they draft.
Let me do this.
Edmonds.
There's two sides of the ball.
Oliver. This is all their first rounders. Oliver, Edmonds.
And Oliver, yep.
Tre'Davious White.
Okay.
All defensive guys.
Yeah.
Can y'all even name me some of the top first round draft picks they got for offense?
He's made a good point.
Sean McDermott,
he
goes his defense.
He has made
when I was there, I said, Coach,
point.
What are we trying to do here? Are we rebuilding? Because we're only getting defense.
Listen.
Andy Reid, he's going to get that offense.
Hey, Stephon Diggs got them. They used a first round pick on Stephon Diggs. It's not a guy they drafted.
Good counter.
Ooh.
It's really disrespectful.
The top five receiver that's on their offense because of a first round pick.
Well, we'll see.
Roy,
okay.
It's really disrespectful to have this conversation in general because in one way or another, it's putting two incredible talents who are both great. And in reality, if you think Josh Allen is better than Patrick Mahomes, it's nothing more than your preference. But I don't like the idea that Patrick Mahomes is all of the accomplishments that he has done are somehow less than all of the accomplishments that Josh Allen hasn't done in an organization that you're trying to paint as the Cleveland Browns or the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah, that's not
it's
that.
Not
yeah,
that's the not case. That's no, not
that.
Reality.
Those aren't
that's not true.
Those aren't that. I don't, I'm not.
They're both
I'm
great.
Not,
Josh
both
Allen
great.
Is not overcoming
they're both
anything
great.
In Buffalo.
It's just that one has a little bit more help. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, but you're
that's
taking that. You're taking that help and then somehow flipping it.
But here's my
so
thing.
So Josh Allen is
wait,
so much better than Patrick Mahomes.
Like Alex Smith looked good for Andy Reid.
Let me look down.
Come on.
I think Josh Allen actually did overcome a lot in Buffalo. Here's why. Remember what Patrick Mahomes went into. The Chiefs traded up to get Patrick Mahomes, and Andy Reid had taken the Chiefs to the playoffs 3 of the previous 4 years. So Patrick Mahomes walked into a ready-made situation. When Josh Allen showed up, the Bills had been to the playoffs once in the previous 18
years. We were weak.
You had been there.
We're not good.
So Josh Allen did walk into joy. It may not have been a dysfunctional franchise, but it was a winningless franchise. Patrick Mahomes walked into a franchise that had been in the playoffs 3 of the previous 4 years and was 12-4
And no one's denying that. But what I'm saying is, at some point or another, if you're the top student in the top school and the numbers, the counting, right, your grades are that high every single year, that has to also account for something. That has to matter. They are peers. We are measured by what we accomplish in competitive spaces. And Josh Allen is not overcoming anything this year. They have a great roster. They would not be favored to win the Super Bowl if it was just his talent, because the Bengals went to the Super Bowl last year. They were better by all accounts, because that's how you do it. You go through the playoffs and then you make it to the Super Bowl. So the Bengals were the best team in the AFC last year. And I'm not going to argue about who played better in what game in the last 13 seconds. They were in the Super Bowl and those two teams were not. So the Bengals were the best team in the AFC last year. Nobody had them going to the Super Bowl at the beginning of the year. Joe Burrow was the reason why that happens. Okay?
I don't agree with that either.
What? Like, all right, that's another
segment. I just want to point out.
What part of that Bengals roster does not carry much?
They played week 6.
Coming up,
Dak Prescott
is not playing. But we still got a lot to say about him. Because somebody else in the NFC East is playing. And Jerry Jones had his eyes on Jalen Hurts. Wait till you hear what Jerry Jones had to say about the Eagles quarterback that might have Dak Prescott worried. That's next.
I hope he kept it real about it. That's what I hope.
Welcome back, family. Now, defending AFC champion Joe Burrow and the Bengals, they are struggling right now. 0-2 record and got beat by a backup quarterback for the Cowboys. Joe Burrow's getting roasted on social media, and he had to respond, "Hey, Joe, speak up."
I know you're not big on social media, but how much of the reaction to the 0-2 start have you felt, seen?
Well, what's great is I don't have Twitter or Instagram right now, so I've seen none of it. We're focused on what's going on in there. I'm sure it's not a very good reaction.
God, he looks defeated. Dave, I got to go to you first. You've known Joe Burrow or known of Joe Burrow since the Ohio State days. You had followed him more than anybody. How did that clip make you feel, big dog?
Doesn't make me feel any type of way. He did this before this happened. Joe deleted his social during training camp last year coming off the injury. LeBron does it when the playoffs start every year. Like, players get off of social. Good.
Don't he
him.
Look just a little depressed, though? Like, at least.
I mean, I hope he is. He's the quarterback of a team that started 0-2 with Super Bowl aspirations. Like, good for him. If he was up here feeling great about it, I'd be concerned.
You got a burner account, though, Shady?
He's not a big social media guy.
Yeah, like, he's not.
He doesn't post a lot. Like, he's not very active on
playoffs last year, though. Remember, he was posting the fits, the walk-ins, every game.
He was a little more active during the playoffs last year, but...
So is he a fair weather social media user?
Like, he's just not a big social. He's not like a constant social media.
That's fair.
Guy.
Even if that's
surprising to me at all.
No. Even if that's true, that's probably good.
The best way to be.
I like you want to dive into that toxicity? I know I wouldn't. Get out of here.
That's like a vet though. The way he handled himself, I like that.
I tried to dive into that toxicity. It's hard to make it out. Okay, we got to move on to the Philadelphia Eagles. Eagles look great Monday night. They dominated the Vikings in the link. Shady, I already said they dominated.
I didn't do the first one.
Anyway, Jalen Hurts, 333 total yards, 3 total touchdowns. But here is what wowed me. Cowboys owner, not Eagles owner, Cowboys owner Jerry Jones, he said this. Jalen Hurts really evolved as better than he came out than we might have thought. Yeah. I can't read right now. They're doing a good job with him up there, and they're going to be all we can handle.
Yeah, Jerry.
You know what? I can't read. Jerry just messed up that quote. That didn't even read well, Jerry. That's on you. That's
you know what he was trying to say.
He was trying to say.
Yeah, Jerry.
Well, first off, here's what blew my mind, Shady. Why is the Cowboys owner complimenting an Eagles quarterback when that wasn't the question he was asked, and they don't play the Eagles this weekend? It got me thinking, Dave, and I'm like, wait a second. Maybe Jerry Jones is a little envious of Jalen Hurts. Maybe he's a little envious of the Eagles having Jalen Hurts. Jerry Jones has Dak Prescott, but Jerry hasn't seen Dak Prescott win a playoff game in 3.5 years. Mm. Jerry paid Dak Prescott $75 million last year. Dak made the playoffs. Eagles paid Jalen Hurts $600,000 last year. Jalen made the playoffs. Mm. They both made the playoffs, and they both got bounced. Even in Dak Prescott's playoff win, he had one touchdown, one interception, 226 yards, and that was in 2018. So I think that Jerry was looking at Jalen with a little bit of lust in his eyes. Like, you know what? Maybe I should step out. I'm not going to go that far. But I think he was looking at Jalen with a little lust in his eyes. I would go as far as to say what Jerry Jones can, that Jalen Hurts may have caught up to Dak Prescott. I would go as far as to say what Jerry Jones can, that Jalen Hurts is doing and has done what Jerry Jones wishes Dak Prescott were currently doing, leading his teams to victories, doing what his team needs to get done to win. Jalen Hurts, week one, 17 rushes, 90 yards, when they couldn't get it done through the air as much as he wanted on the first two drives of the game. Okay, last game, the Minnesota Vikings are not going to let you pass the ball, so Jalen Hurts, you're only going to run it 11 times, and you're going to air it out for 300-plus yards. I would go as far as to say that Jalen Hurts is caught up to Dak Prescott. Dave, you're grunting.
Yep.
So I take it you do not agree. Has Jalen caught up to Dak?
It's not a matter of agreeing or disagreeing. Like, there's no factual, there's no argument based in rationality for this. Nothing at all. Zero. And honestly, if Jerry Jones is jealous of anything about Jalen Hurts, it's his salary. I'll give him that. Like, Jerry Jones is like, damn, the Eagles have put a nice team together paying their quarterback $600,000 because the Eagles are proactive, and credit to them. They have built a team around a cheap quarterback. The biggest failing of the Cowboys last decade is that they couldn't capitalize on Dak's cap hit.
Mm-hmm.
If Jerry Jones is jealous of anything, it's that. He damn sure does not think that Jalen Hurts can sniff Dak Prescott as a football player, as a quarterback. You just want me to read it? Like, I'll read it if you want me to say it. Dak threw more touchdowns last year than Jalen Hurts has ever thrown. Dak threw for more yards in 2019 than Jalen Hurts has thrown in 3 years of his career. Dak has been to the playoffs three times and won a game. Jalen Hurts has been to the playoff one time, and when the fourth quarter of that game started, it was 31-0. I would hate to be on this show the day after that Dak Prescott got run off the field in the playoffs the way Jalen Hurts did last year.
Oh, I got to come in.
Off the field. We would do a whole 2-hour show on the Cowboys being terrible if they had gotten run off the field in the playoffs last year the way the Eagles did. I'm not done.
Okay. Don't unload the whole clip, though, because I'm shooting back.
17 game-winning drives. Jalen Hurts has two. Head-to-head record. Jalen Hurts and Dak Prescott have gone against each other twice. Jalen Hurts is 0-2 with a minus 20 differential. They've lost by 20 both times Jalen has played Dak.
Some ammo.
Please rebut. You have nothing, so I'm not afraid.
In the playoffs,
you have nothing.
Jalen Hurts lost to the greatest of all time, right?
That's right. Tom Brady.
And Dak Prescott lost to the person, Jimmy G, who I've been told for the last 3 weeks of this show ain't all that good. So Jalen lost to the greatest ever, and Dak lost to Jimmy Garoppolo. I'll start there. Secondarily, I am sure that Jerry Jones is envious of Jalen Hurts' running ability because Dak don't run no more.
Right.
I don't know if Dak can run anymore, but he don't run no more since he messed up the ankle. I am sure.
That's right. Talk to him.
That Jerry Jones is envious of the fact that Jalen Hurts is the only one, when you talk about Jalen and Dak Prescott, to have 300 yards rushing, 11 carries, and over 50 yards, and two touchdowns. Dak's never done that. You want to read all these things that Dak Prescott's done that Jalen Hurts hasn't done by record of Dak Prescott being in the league for a lot longer?
I do.
I can talk about the present. Keep
what year
about
he's
history.
In? He's in what, three? Year three?
Year three.
Okay, and Dak's in what, year seven?
Yeah.
One more playoff win.
Right.
Autumn years.
One more
playoff
win. And $100 million, right?
Joy, you want to help him?
Jalen Hurts.
I'm ready to go.
You want to help?
Jalen Hurts didn't lose to Tom Brady. He lost to a Bucs defense that didn't let him score a point until the fourth quarter of a playoff game, just for whatever that's worth.
That same Bucs defense held Dak Prescott to 3 points and got him hurt. Joy, go ahead.
All right. First of all, Dak is hurt, right? He's not playing right now for us to do this year's comparison of Jalen Hurts and Dak Prescott. So let's just do last year's. For that.
You want to do that, Joy?
That sounds fun.
You already listed all the numbers. Also, America, maybe you weren't watching yesterday, but I'm old enough to remember yesterday's show when I was the only one who said that Jalen Hurts is ready to be the franchise quarterback for the Eagles. I was the only one who said, yes, it is.
Not true.
Yes, it is. I was the only one who said, I'm sold on Jalen Hurts. Me. Joy Taylor is the only one who said that unequivocally. Old enough to remember that show. And I'm old enough to remember both of you bringing up exactly what Dave just said. in that playoff game, and that's why you don't think that the Eagles, and particularly Howie Roseman, not finished. I reclaim my time. Both of you said that that is part of the reason why the Eagles are not completely sold, that Jalen Hurts has not developed a pocket presence yet. This is not dump on Jalen Hurts day, because I, again, love Jalen Hurts, and I think he is capable of being a starting quarterback in this league, and I think he's the future of the Eagles. He's having an amazing season. But Dak Prescott has accomplished more. He has been paid more because of those accomplishments, and he's hurt right now, so he can't rebut any of this on the field. So I'm going to look at what he did last year when Jalen Hurts was playing. Jalen Hurts and the Eagles have the opportunity to play Dak Prescott and the Cowboys, and what happened? Two L's.
Big time L's.
So to say that he's like caught up to Dak Prescott L's. Means you must believe he is a franchise quarterback, because whatever you think of Dak Prescott is a franchise quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, and he's been paid as such. So then you must believe that Jalen Hurts is the franchise quarterback of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Two different franchises, two different standards.
And go ahead, I don't go by the money because
so what's the standard?
Everybody is paid now, so I don't go by the money, right? So Jared Goff got paid, right?
He did.
Okay, anyway. So let's just talk
Jared
about
Goff
this.
Played in the Super Bowl. That's why he got paid.
Carson.
Yeah, he was really, really good. Real quick, let's just talk about the straight football, right? So Jalen Hurts, he's younger. So, of course, Dak got paid more. Of course, he has more wins and more games. He's played more. This year right here is all about experience. The more games Jalen Hurts gets, he's going to do better and better.
He's got to get better and to reach Dak Prescott's level.
Every player gets better and better the more games they play. It's his third season. So real quick, Jerry Jones seen what we seen, right? Mm-hmm. So as he's watching the Eagles play, he's watching Jalen Hurts take the ball out, go score, throw a 60, 70-yard deep bomb. He's seen what we seen. Mm-hmm. So that let him know, like, man, I wish my quarterback can do that. Man, my quarterback's making another hundreds of millions of dollars. He can't do that.
What did he see that you threw that
Hold on. This young kid can do that. Mm-hmm. So my thing is this. I love to talk about potential. A lot of teams, they draft players, they pay guys on potential. And I see bigger potential in Jalen Hurts than I do in Dak Prescott. I'm not a big Dak Prescott guy.
But neither of you are sold on him being the franchise quarterback.
Not yet.
You said 80%, Shady.
Listen, first of all,
you say 80%. You have to be honest on the show. I have to.
I'm playing real football here. I'm not to say, he's a starter quarterback. Give him everything. No, it takes time. He's a young quarterback. It's his third year. What do you think I made my first All-Pro year?
Third year?
My third year. It takes time. My second year, I was balling, but I wasn't the guy yet. This year, he's going to be the guy.
That's fine.
And Dallas, we're struggling to have a guy.
When do they play each other?
2-3 weeks.
And who will win that game?
Week six. And Jerry anticipates Dak will be back.
I hope so, but I don't know.
Who do you think going to win, though?
I'm not going to say that 3 weeks ahead of time.
You know who's going to win.
I think the Eagles are going to win.
We all think the Eagles are going to win.
The last time.
I got to get the break.
No, come on. I can keep going.
It's not my fault.
Joy Dave, do it with me.
Ridiculous.
Staying in the NFL, no one has taken home Terry Bradshaw's money just yet. So Fox Bet Super 6 is upping the ante, increasing the jackpot. Am I reading that right? To $1 million? Download the free-to-play Super 6 app and enter your 6 picks in the NFL Sunday Challenge contest for a chance at the jackpot. Fox Bet Super 6 is giving away $6.5 million to 80,000 winners. So you do not miss out. You better be 80,001. Don't miss out. We can do the topic again if you want.
We should, because I got more on that.
I got smoked. They got smoked again.
There have been some great things in the NFL through week two, but it can't be all positive. So let's look at the biggest disappointments, and there are a lot of them. Bengals haven't been great. Kirk Cousins and the Vikings, we thought they were great. Not so much. The Arizona Cardinals, I get it, just snuck a victory out there, but you could have been a little bit better. And the Raiders, yikes. So when I think about biggest disappointments, Shady, I'm coming to you first.
Okay.
Who has been the biggest disappointment after week two?
I'm going to go with the team that I told you guys won't make the playoffs. Joe Burrow and the Bengals. That's sad, man. They have more turnovers than touchdowns this year, right? The offseason, they addressed the line. Oh, we can't block nobody. Let's put all this money to the offensive line. They do that. They still can't block nobody. If you look at the wide receiver core they have, right? T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd, Pittsburgh guy. And I want to say this. Jamar Chase is probably the best. He's top three in the league, in my opinion. It's a dog. And y'all can't win with this group? Zero. The quarterbacks they lost to, you won't believe it. Steelers. I don't even want to say his name because I really want Kenny Pickett to play. But Trubisky, and who's the last one?
Cooper
Callis,
Rush.
Dallas.
Cooper Rush.
So you lose to these type of guys? Like, come on, are we serious? No real true starters. I mean, Trubisky's really a backup, for real.
Yeah, he is.
And the Cooper Rush is a backup. Like, that's a big disappointment. So I can't believe it.
I got to co-sign that very quickly. I'll put a button on it before I go to you, Joy. I think you can't overstate how disappointing the Bengals have been. You're in the Super Bowl last year. Joe Burrow, you're only going to get better. You're not going to have a sophomore slump because you're in your third year. Zach Taylor, we know you've gotten past your slumping stages of 2-14 because you're now in your fourth year as a head coach. The Cowboys literally weren't without their left, were without their left guard, still without Michael Gallup, had Cooper Rush, and you lose to Dallas, and Dallas didn't even think they could beat you, let alone did y'all think y'all could lose. I think that is crazy disappointing. But, Joy, you have a different answer. Who's your biggest
threat? I agree that the Bengals are disappointing, and Joe's been sacked more than any other quarterback in the league so far. So all those offensive line problems have not been solved. But I got to go with the Broncos. The Broncos obviously had huge expectations. We were talking about them constantly throughout the offseason. You bring in Russell Wilson, that's going to up the situation even more. There's a lot of hype around them, and they have been extremely disappointed. They rank number one in penalties. So to add to all the struggles that Nathaniel Hackett has had to start off the season, that's a very big deal. They're 32nd in red zone touchdown percentage this year, 24th in scoring offense. And that's the side of the ball that we expected to vastly improve from last year. They were tied for 23rd last season with Teddy Bridgewater at quarterback. So the Broncos have been wildly disappointing to me.
Very disappointing. But you know what, Joy? As ugly as it might have been, the Broncos managed to get a win against
they
the
did.
Houston
they did.
Texans.
They okay. did.
You know who didn't? The Indianapolis Colts.
Ooh.
A tie. A tie against the team that we all think is going to fight for a top three pick. And then they follow that up by getting boat raced by Jacksonville. Like, not, they didn't lose. They got their asses kicked. They didn't score 24-0. And my dumbass is sitting here. I thought the Colts had the potential to be the number one overall seed, not because of how good they are, but because of how weak that division
you
is.
Say that.
Just like
you
the Titans.
That.
The Titans were the one seed last year. We argue about the Bills and the Chiefs. It was Tennessee. I thought the Colts could be the same team. They look garbage. Ugh. Like, they do not look like a playoff team at all, let alone the number one
Let
overall
me ask
seed.
Y'all this. You're most disappointed in the Broncos. We are most disappointed in the Bengals. You're most disappointed in the Colts. Joy, I'm going to come to you first. Of all the teams, the three teams we're most disappointed in, who's most likely to get it fixed? Bengals, Broncos, Colts.
I'm going to go with the Broncos very reluctantly because we have seen what's happening with the Bengals happen to other teams after going to a Super Bowl. I didn't expect the Bengals to have the same season as they did last year. My reasoning was they're not going to sneak up on anybody. Everyone knows that the Bengals are for real. Last year, they kind of were able to. There's something to it. Like, when you take the Bengals seriously when they come in town if you come off of a Super Bowl. And they've really been struggling, and the offensive line is very, very concerning. With the Bengals, we've talked about this already today, or with the Broncos, I'm sorry, we've talked about this. The playbook and Russ getting comfortable with the players around him, Nathaniel Hackett kind of settling down as a first-time head coach, I do think those are things that can be fixed as the season goes on. The offensive line being wide open in Cincinnati, I don't think can be fixed.
Dave, what do you answer?
I'm not betting against my guy, Joe Scheisty. I mean, I'm obviously biased, but he'll figure it out.
You think he's more likely to figure it out than Russ?
No, I'm just a homer. That's all. That's all.
I appreciate your honesty.
Bengals, they won't make the playoffs, like I said earlier. Anyway, I'm going to go with Russ. I think Russ is great. Like, come on. This is what he does. So I feel like he'll start cooking again, getting his old spices back, some little hot sauce, go back to the basics. He'll be cooking. Shortly.
They don't have a bad defense either, so.
No, they
come
don't.
On, Russ. Bring it home, baby. Get it together.
Shady believes in you. Dave, well, he's just a homer. At least he's honest. Coming up, Mike Evans. Y'all remember Mike Evans this past weekend?
That's right.
Throwing what I would call a cheap shot.
Free Mike
Evans,
baby.
But I guess I went to private school, so I don't know about fighting. Anyway, the NFL upheld his suspension, and we got a lot to say about that. Should Mike Evans have been suspended? Did he win the fight with that look on his face?
He always wins.
I don't know.
Yes.
See? Let's head to Tampa because in the breaking NFL news of the day, Mike Evans' one-game suspension officially upheld. He will miss the huge Sunday matchup against the Green Bay Packers. Remember, last week, ejected for his altercation in what many call a brawl. You could just call it a small tussle. Anyway, Shady, I'm coming to you first because I know how passionate you are about this. What's it say? Can we take his
one? I don't know how well that's going
to
show up.
You might have to take it.
Well, look, if you can't see it, free Mike Evans, baby. Free my dog, man. Come on now.
So, Shady, you think that Mike Evans shouldn't have been suspended?
Come on. It's football. We're gladiators, right? You can't tell us to turn it on, to turn it back off. They always fight. The last time he fought Lattimore, they didn't get suspended for it. So, why are we trying to do something different? It ain't like nobody took their helmets off and was slinging it at people or it hurt somebody. It was a little scuffle, a little push here and there.
That was a little push?
Real quick, if Dave keeps pissing me off about the Eagles and Cowboys, I'm going to push him.
That's right.
And you better have my back.
I got you. I ain't going to suspend it. I promise you that.
It's like, let's take it easy. I mean, like.
Can Fox suspend him for that? Like, how does that work? Like,
it was the game in the Palace with Artest and all them
guys. Mouse of the Palace.
Like, come on. That was crazy. This was nothing. It's the NFL.
So should – where do you draw the line then, Shady? Where do you draw the line? If you're going to let a 6'5", 240-pound receiver go smack a 6-foot, 200-pound DB after the whistle, where do you draw the line?
Well, first of all, you got to watch his mouth, right? When you talk trash and you put your hand in
wasn't
the face.
Wasn't it Tom Brady who crazy. Called Marshawn Lattimore and said, hey, you
that's right. He the GOAT. It don't matter. Ain't that right, Joy? So, look, not suspend him, but take money from him. We hate to get fined, right? I never got fined. I got fined one time, and then Runyon, the Eagles.
Yep, John Runyon.
Yeah, I had to holler at him. Got some money, took him up, give him back. But you don't want to mess with your money.
Runyon paid you for the fine?
Well, no, I had a fine. And he helped me out. He looked out for me. You know what I mean?
You ever pay him back?
That's nice.
He took it out there. Don't worry about that, Shady. But listen, if you take the money from the players, they hate that. Don't suspend him for a game. You got fans out there. That's Mike Evans fans out there that want to see him play. Fantasy holders. Fantasy? Yeah. I play fantasy. He's on my fantasy team. Please let the guy play.
That's really why you're mad about it.
Yeah.
Free Mike Evans, baby. You see it now.
I don't disagree with the suspension only because, and I have no problem with what he did, first of all. I would have done the same thing. And yeah. I don't think it was a cheap shot. I don't know how you cheap shot someone in the chest.
Right.
And you're not going to be in a fight anywhere, really, a real fight where it's a fair one. And it certainly isn't going to be a fair one on a football field when everyone is already fighting. I think the reason why he got suspended is because he came back from the sideline. Mm. Had he been already in all of that and then pushed him the way he did, I don't think he would have gotten suspended. Maybe he would have been fined, but I don't think it would have been a suspension because he was already in it. I think him running back from the sideline is what caused the suspension. And we know, obviously, after everything that happened with Myles Garrett, the NFL is much more sensitive to fights, even though everybody got helmets on that protect you from full head-on collisions. So a fist is not going to do anything. So these aren't, like, real fights. I am okay with the suspension because he ran back. I understand why the NFL is doing it. But, so Mike, I'd have done the same thing.
You have more of an issue with him running back onto the field than you do him hitting the player who didn't see him looking with more than a
I don't know. Game. How do you not see someone hit you in the chest? How do you not see someone hit you in the chest?
Right. We're never going to come together on this
someone
one
someone hit you
point.
In the chest. There's so many layers to that.
Tell
I'm not going to get into.
Tell him.
I wouldn't have an issue with him not being suspended. I don't have an issue with him being suspended because I know how the NFL is doing the suspensions now. So I should say I'm not surprised that they didn't overturn the suspension. Again, it sucks that Mike Evans is going to be out for a game. He's a very important player outside of fantasy points. He's a very important player to this team and a great player. And it sucks that he's going to be suspended for a game. But he had to do what he had to do. It's Tom Brady.
That's what he said.
What do you want me to do? Get in, Dave.
Like, as if Tom Brady needs anybody's help getting protected by the refs or by the league. Are you absolutely kidding me? That is weak. Look, what Lattimore, Fournette, and Brady were doing is football. That happens. Running from the sideline to the field, I'm not even going to call it a cheap shot. Whatever. You don't have to call it a cheap shot. Running 25 yards and, definitely a coincidence that you picked out the guy that you hate. Who you've gotten in a fight with like two or three other times. Like, no way. And that's the point of this, too. Like, if this was a one-time deal, I doubt Mike Evans gets suspended. This happens every time the Saints play the Bucs. Right. And so the league's making an example saying, hey, we don't want to have to worry about this every time y'all play. You play twice a year, by the way.
That's what I think it is as well. They want to set the tone for it. But I do have to say, somebody had to do something. Because here's what would have happened if nobody did anything in this situation. If nobody shoved Lattimore. The conversation the next day would have been, oh, what's going on in Tampa Bay? Brady's teammates must be mad. He's out on Wednesdays. Must be mad he missed those games. They're not sticking up for him anymore. Nobody's sticking up for the quarterback. What's going on in Tampa Bay?
Here's why I disagree. Let's go back to the Super Bowl. Dave, you might have to correct me because you know this player I'm going to bring up. Let's go back to the Super Bowl. Tom Brady, you were there. Tom Brady cussing out Ty Matthew. Yeah. Ty Matthew yelling back as they're going to the locker room.
Yeah.
To me, that was a more heated encounter a real visceral, because it lasted for a while. That was a more heated encounter than that encounter. And nobody came in trying to protect Tom. It was just Tom cussing out a DB, DB cussing back, and they both eventually gonna go their separate ways. Forever. Nobody was coming to Tom's rescue, and nobody questioned the lack of defense for Tom, because we know Tom can kind of stand up for himself.
It was the Super Bowl, and it never got physical.
Yeah, but it was just basically like, that was his words. It was his words.
Yeah.
That was all it was. And they celebrated. He threw the ball to AB. He celebrated. Tom came over there, which he always does, and celebrates with the guys. Matthews thought it was a little disrespectful. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So he was like, yo, you know, something. And then Brady was like, what?
Run the clip.
Something.
Run the clip. Because Jordan brings up a good point. It never got physical.
I can't say the words.
But I don't like, I don't know. I don't.
That's competing, though. That's competing.
I don't view this. Can we run the clip? I don't view this as being so, like, excessively physical, Joy. Like, one Marshawn Lattimore push it for net. Like, I don't view that as being physical.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
That, like, happens 20 times a game all over the league.
Why do other guys didn't get suspended? See, that's my thing. If Mike was fighting the other guys, too, and they were fighting Mike, they should got suspended, too.
No, because Mike, instigated the height of the fight.
We're also not going back far enough.
What we need to see.
We need to go back a little bit further.
What we missing?
It was between Brady and Lattimore first, and then Fournette came over. We're not going back far enough in the tape.
They got to wash their mouth, man. So, have you ever gotten a fight?
Yes.
At practice?
College.
Pros.
No, I didn't get a fight in a pro. Who am I fighting?
I'm saying, like, camp or anything?
He watched Dez and Malcolm Jenkins get
there. Everybody gets into these, like, little fights. Little push here, little push there. That's nothing.
But he
got pads on.
Here's where it gets cheap, though, big dog.
That's like a tackle. For real.
No, where it gets deep for me is Marshawn Lattimore didn't even have the opportunity to rebuttal. Because as soon as Mike Evans jumped on Marshawn, then the refs got to blowing it up. If y'all going to engage with me, Joy and Shady, that, yo, all is fair in a brawl, it's all a fair fight, then to some degree, let them fight. But you can't let Mike Evans get a cheap shot in and then blow the whistle and be like, well, you know, everything goes, because everything didn't go. That's where I'm like, if I'm Lattimore, nah,
look,
big dog.
Shady.
Yes.
You know there's certain things. Once you say it, it's on.
Thank you.
Period.
I just said, watch your mouth.
As soon as you say something, and listen, Marshawn Lattimore, he can say what he wants to say. Like, he's a grown man.
Right.
Right? And this is a heated situation. He can say what he wants to say. But there are fighting words.
And Brady said one.
Okay, and I'm sure Lattimore did as well.
Yeah. And Brady said one.
That's right. He said some of his boys riding out. You heard what he said?
He didn't have a chance to fight back. Well, you done already said the fighting words. Whatever happened after that is on you.
Joy, they scaring me, Joy. We better get a fight. TV show. We're going to be in trouble.
Go ahead, Dave.
Just none of this happens if Mike Evans and Marshawn Lattimore don't already hate each other.
Joy got my back.
Or if Mike Evans doesn't run onto the field.
No. And that's a different matter entirely. But what I'm saying is, like, if it had been any other player, Mike Evans, he might have run over there and gotten involved, but he ain't going to shove him the way he shoves a guy that he's got history with.
I don't disagree with that, and I think that's why the NFL...
And that's why it happened. I don't have a strong opinion about it. Like, if they hadn't suspended him, because you know he's getting fined either way.
I have a strong opinion.
If they hadn't suspended him, I wouldn't have cared, but I definitely don't care that he did get suspended.
Here's my thing is, Dave, if you are on a football field and a grown man comes running at you who is 6'5", 240 pounds, and hits you while you are looking maybe with half a second in advance... and he doesn't get suspended, that's a problem.
But don't let another man cheat shot you. This isn't the supermarket. You get hit by that man sometimes. You are on a football field.
During the whistle, like, we got to have
some... But if you don't want those problems, then don't get involved in this back and forth.
If you say some bad, he called a cop.
Look what Lattimore did to Fournette. What are you talking about? Why are you worried about how big somebody is on the field? What are you talking about? You should expect this.
Shannon Sharp says I'm mad at Bobby. Come get him.
I'll be crying about it afterwards.
Oh, my God.
Oh, we are never reaching a conclusion on this one. Well, we got to transition, because coming up, superstars in the NBA, LeBron James, Chris Paul, they use their platforms along with others to speak out about the controversial NBA owner. Now he has to step down. I'll have my final thoughts on what's going on in Phoenix. That is next. Speed. It's time for my final thought. Robert Sarver, owner of the Phoenix Suns, has announced he's going to sell the team. Now, I fervently believe in the quote that justice won't be served until those that are unaffected are as outraged as those that are affected. So kudos to the courageous individuals that were affected but spoke out, and also the NBA players. LeBron James, who said there's no place for sexism, misogyny, racism. Chris Paul, who also said, my heart goes out to all the women that were affected. Shout out to the players for using their platforms and getting someone who never should have owned a team out the league. We'll see you next time. That's it for us.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.